Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come here today celebrating your birth, Lord, I pray that you would now open up this familiar story, open it up to our hearts in both new and old ways through the power, the mercy, and the grace of your Spirit. Amen. So Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas. Yeah.
This morning, we are celebrating the birth of Jesus. And for many of you here, this may be an event that you have always celebrated. Maybe you grew up celebrating the presence of Jesus in the world. And maybe there are some of you here today who did not grow up celebrating the birth of Jesus, but God has been at work in your life, and now you find the birth of Jesus truly something to celebrate. And maybe, and this is completely fine, maybe you're here this morning because a friend or a family member has dragged you here early on Christmas morning. You know about the birth of Jesus, and you respect that this event is important for a lot of people, but it's just not really all that important for you. Listen, no matter what has brought you here this morning, I want us all to hear how the very first messengers of the very first Christmas summed it all up. As we've just read and sung, the angels that appeared to those sleepy shepherds outside of Bethlehem, they explained that the birth of Jesus was good news that will cause great joy to all people. Good news of great joy to all people. Now, over the past month, as a church, we've been talking about how the birth of Jesus really is good news of great joy. And this morning, I want to kind of bring that whole series to a conclusion by taking this one step further. I want us to see and understand why the birth of Jesus is good news that will cause great joy for all people, just as the angels proclaimed. Because that's something that I think all of us here need to be reminded of, because there are those of you here today, as we've just talked about, or there are people that you will meet as you leave this place today who may not know or believe in the depths of their hearts that this event of Jesus' birth that we are celebrating today, that this event really is good news for them. They may think that it's good news for some people, maybe the collection of Christians who believe this thing. They may believe that it's good news for those other people who are maybe better, who are more worthy of this gift. They may believe that it's good news for others, but they may not believe it is good news for them. So I want us to hear this morning what these angels said to the shepherds, that this is good news not just for a select group, but this is good news of great joy for all. Now, to try to get at the heart of why this news of Jesus' birth should be such good news for all of us, I'm actually going to turn to a different story in the Bible, a story that I'm guessing you would not really associate with Christmas, but hey, we're going to make some new traditions here, so maybe next year you're going to read this story as part of the Christmas story too. I'll be interested if you do that. You'll have to tell me. The story that we're going to look at, and I invite you to open your Bibles to this passage as well, is in the Old Testament in 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 7. I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. Now there were four men who were lepers at the entrance to the gate. And they said to one another, "Why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, 'Let us enter the city,' the famine is in the city and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. So now come, let us go over to the camp of the Syrians." If they spare our lives, we shall live. And if they kill us, we'll only die. So they arose at twilight to go to the camp of the Syrians. But when they came to the edge of the camp of the Syrians, behold, there was no one there. For the Lord had made the army of the Syrians hear the sound of chariots and of horses, the sound of a great army, so that they said to one another, "Behold, the king of Israel has hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of Egypt to come against us." So they fled away in the twilight and abandoned their tents, their horses, their donkeys, leaving the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. The men who had leprosy reached the edge of the camp, entered one of the tents, and ate and drank. Then they took silver, gold, and clothes and went off and hid them. They returned and entered another tent and took some things from it and hid them also. Then they said to each other, "What we're doing is not right. This is a day of good news, and we are keeping it to ourselves. If we wait until daylight, punishment will overtake us. Let's go at once and report this to the royal palace." Now, let me give some context for this story, as it may not be a familiar one. At this point in the history of Israel, Israel has been invaded by the Syrians. Now, you don't need to know much about the Syrians other than the fact that they were a very, very powerful kingdom at this time. Israel didn't really stand any of a chance against them. And as we begin the story, the Syrians have burned and pillaged and invaded all the way to the capital of Israel, which was Samaria. But more than just arriving outside of the capital, the Syrians had completely surrounded the city, besieging it so that no one could come in or out. No supplies, no food, nothing could pass through the massive lines of the Syrian army. Now just imagine looking out over the city walls. Instead of seeing fields and forests, the ground is dark with a writhing human mass, soldiers stretching for as far as your eyes can see. Now at this point, this siege has been going on for long enough that the situation has become utterly desperate inside of the city. The people have rummaged through all of their cupboards. The last powdery remnants of flour have long been carefully scraped out of the bowl. The oil jar is empty and cracking. The Bible tells us that the people were so hungry that they were paying 80 shekels of silver for a donkey's head. Now, I didn't really know what 80 shekels of silver should really buy. To give you an idea, at this time, the going price for a healthy horse that you would use to work, kind of like buying a car, the going price for a healthy horse was 150 shekels of silver. So this, in other words, is an outrageous sum of money. They were even selling dove's dung to eat for 5 shekels of silver. There's even a horrible story, just a little bit earlier, of a woman who comes to the king asking him to force her friend to cook her son so that they could eat him, because they had already eaten her son the night before. It's truly horrendous. It's sickening, but it also shows you just how desperate the situation had become in Samaria. The people were absolutely starving to death, and they were looking for any possible source of nourishment that they could find. Now, I don't want to lightly compare the profound suffering the people in Samaria were facing to the problems that many of us face today. At the same time, though, I think it's important for us to recognize the extent of the suffering that they were facing, because it makes the miracle that is about to happen all that much more miraculous. And I think that this is an important lesson for us to think about as we reflect on the message of Christmas and how this really is a message of good news for all people as well. Because it's very easy for us to look out into our community, to look out at our circles of colleagues and our friends and family members and think, you know what, they seem to be doing okay. We can see how the gospel maybe would be important for someone else, but they seem to have their act together. They seem to be doing well. What can the gospel offer to people who seem so comfortable? Perhaps you've wondered this about your own life even. My suffering doesn't seem to compare to the suffering of the people in Samaria. But the truth of the matter is, and hear this morning, the truth of the matter is, as the Bible tells us, just like the people in Samaria, we are all trapped. We are all trapped in our sins. And because of this, because we feel our desperate need for nourishment, for spiritual life, we seek that nourishment anywhere that we can. We try to fill the voids of our lives with success, with relationships, with wealth, with security. We look with envy upon our neighbors, our brother, because they seem to have more than us, because they seem happier, because they seem more fulfilled. But again and again, we discover this universal truth that these ways of filling our hearts, they simply do not last. They do not bring lasting joy. We eat, we have our fill, but we find our hearts are still longing for more. Violence and hopelessness and despair remain both in the world and in our hearts. The truth is, we also, all of us, we also are in a truly desperate situation. And unless we realize that, we cannot recognize just how truly miraculous, how truly a cause of joy this news of Christmas really is. But now we're getting ahead of ourselves. So let's pick back up with the story, because God has something in store for the people of Samaria. The Bible, as we read, the Bible tells us that there are four lepers who are sitting on the edge of the city. And they're trying to figure out what to do, because they are starving too. So as a reminder, here's how the Bible describes them. It says there are four men who are lepers at the entrance to the gate. And then they said to one another, well, why are we sitting here until we die? If we say, let us enter the city, the famine is in the city, right? If they go into the city, they're not allowed to go into the city because they're lepers. But even if they get into the city, if someone in the city has compassion on them and says, yes, you can come in, there's no food there. So they'll just die. So they say, let's instead go to the camp of the enemy. Yes, maybe they'll catch us, but they have food there. What's the worst that can happen? They'll just kill us. We're going to die anyway. But when they arise, when they go at twilight to the camp of the Syrians, what the Bible says is, behold, there was no one there. So what happened? Where had this impossibly large army vanished to? Well, as we read, God happened. God had told the people of Israel before this to trust him. They didn't. The king in Samaria was not one of the faithful kings, and he had led the people of Israel into false worship. But in spite of this, God saw his people's suffering, and he intervened. In the middle of the night, the sleeping Syrian soldiers woke up to a terrible noise. Every single one of them heard the thundering of a million marching footsteps. They felt beneath them the very ground being shaken by the force of an approaching army. The Syrians went out of their minds with fear. The Egyptian army had somehow overwhelmed their lines. It was nearly upon him, and they jumped out of their tents and they fled in absolute terror. But of course, there was no approaching Egyptian army. It was the power of God that had intervened. So this is what these four lepers saw when they went to the Syrian camp. It was completely empty of soldiers, but all of the tents, all of the supplies, all of the food. It was all just sitting there, strangely peaceful in the dim twilight haze. In other words, the lepers had hit the absolute jackpot. And so they started doing what any of us would do if we suddenly found hordes of food and wine and gold and everything that you can imagine just laying there in front of you. They started gathering up as many of it as they could. So they went into a tent, they grabbed all that they could, they gathered it, they hauled it out, and what did they do with it? They hid it. They hid it in a hole. They buried it so no one else could find it. And then they would run into the next tent. They grabbed as much as they could. Maybe one of them, I always imagine that one of them has like a turkey leg like in his mouth as he's carrying this gold. He's pouring it into his hole. He's burying it. He's hiding it from everyone. They may still be lepers, but you know what? Now they were very, very rich lepers. But then one of them suddenly realizes something. "Wait," he says to the others. "Wait, what are we doing?" And I love this part. He says, "We're not doing what is right. This day is a day of good news. If we're silent and wait until morning, punishment will overtake them, will overtake us. Now therefore, come. Let us go and tell the king's household." Now, did you catch it? The leprous man just realized that while they were gathering up all of these treasures, eating a feast and drinking this wine, all of the people in the city, they still didn't know that God had saved them. For all they knew, they were still surrounded. They were still besieged. God had freed them in this miraculous, dramatic way, but they had no idea. And so they were still living their lives as if they were still imprisoned and starving and dying inside of the city walls. They would wake up in the morning and they would continue to go about the same routine of struggling and scratching, wrestling and fighting and killing for every scrap of food that they could find. And that's why this leper says this wondrous thing. This is a day of good news. And so realizing this, these four lepers, they head back to the city to share this amazing news of what God had done for them and for the rest of the people. Now, I absolutely love this story because I think it paints such a perfect picture of what this good news we celebrate at Christmas really is. You see, as Christians, we are like these four lepers. We aren't special in any way. We aren't the best looking or the brightest. And I know what you're thinking. Speak to yourself, Pastor. Come on. But it's true. We might even be the outcast in society. I don't know. It doesn't really matter. What matters is that we, by God's great mercy, have come to see the fact that God has already done this amazing thing for us. It is Christmas. Christ has come. Our Savior has come in our moment of greatest need to redeem us from our sins, to free us from the bondage of our hearts. As Christians, we know this and we've experienced it. We know God's love for us and we've experienced the freedom of giving our lives to Him, of casting down the false idols of our servitude that we've devoted our lives to. But here's the thing. Just like those shepherds that first Christmas morning, just like the people living within the walls of Samaria, the rest of the world is still living, and let's be honest, even some of us are still living as if we are besieged. The rest of the world is slowly dying because they have no food to eat. They are spiritually starving. But what is truly horrible about this position is that they don't have any need to live this way. We don't have any need to live this way. None of us need to live this way because God has already conquered our enemies. Sin and death have been conquered by the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. But the city will never know this. The world will never know this if we don't go and tell them. But that's why this is such good news that we are called to share with all people. Like the four lepers, like the angels on that first Christmas, we are called to go back to the city to share the good news with the people that God has freed them. We're called to share with the world that their deepest need, their deepest longings, their deepest hungers for love and acceptance and purpose and life, God has provided all of these things if we would only trust Him, if we would only open up the walls that we've created around our hearts to protect ourselves from the enemy of the world. And I think that if we begin to think about the Christmas story in this way, that the Christmas story is like the good news of telling a starving and dying city that God has defeated the enemy and that a banquet has now been laid before them. I think if we start to think about the Christmas story in this way, then we will begin to understand in our minds and in our hearts how this really is good news of great joy for all people. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, You know the struggle that we are in. You know the violence and the wickedness that exists in our cities, in our world, and Lord, even in our own hearts. Violence and wickedness that it's hard for us to even fathom and understand. And yet, Lord, we know that that same evil exists in every human heart. And so, Lord, we might have good reason to despair. We might have good reason to lose hope. Except, Lord, for the fact of this good news that we have heard today proclaimed by the angels, that we have heard proclaimed through Scripture, that we have heard proclaimed through those who have witnessed this truth, that You, Lord, have intervened, that You have said, "No, I will not let my children go." And so, Lord, we rejoice at this news that our Savior has come. Christ is born. Help us, Lord, give us the courage, just as the lepers had, to share this news with others so that we all may live together in the joy of this freedom. In Your name we pray. Amen.